भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 6, Text Number 5. Atapi Yuyam. Is there a book for Maharaj?
Is the Maharaj of English?
Pitta Kilvisha Babam Ye. Bhagisha Bhagavajam Paradu Prasadiyatvam Parishuddhachitasa Kshipra Prasadam Pagrihita Anugripadvam Atapi Uyam Kritakil Vishabhavam
Atapi Uyam Kritakil Vishabhavam
Yeva Visho Bhagavajam Paradu
Yeva Visho Bhagavajam
Paradu Prasade Advam Parishudha Chetasa
Prasade Advam Parishudha Chetasa
Kshipra Prasadam Pragrihitanam Dipadmam Shipra prasadam parihitam dribadmam
Shipra prasadam parihitam dribadmam
Atapi uyam kritakil vishabhavam
Atapi uyam kritakil vishabhavam
Ye bahisho bhagavajam paradu
Ye bahisho bhagavajam paradu
Prasadayadvam parishudha chetasa Shipra prasadam pragrihitam dipadmam
Shipra prasadam pragrihitam dipadmam
Atapi uyam kritak kil vishabhavam
Atapi uyam kritak kil vishabhavam
Ye vahisho bhagavajam paradu
Ye vahisho bhagavajam paradu
Prasadayadvam parishudha chetasa Shipra prasadam pragrihitam dipadmam
Shipra prasadam
Shabhava
Adhati Yuyam Vita Yuki Shabhava
Atapi
Atapi
Suri
Yuyam
Yuyam
Siri
Siri
Kritta Kilbisha
Kilbisha
Anishata Skarbi
Bhavam
Bhavam
Kusushi
Kusushi
Ye
Ye
Siri
Bahisha Бхагаваджам,
имеющему право на долю,
Параду,
не допустили,
Прасадиятвам,
все вы должны умилостивиться,
Парашудачейтаса,
отбросить все сомнения.
Шипрапрасадам Прагрихитта Ангри Падмам
Найдя прибежище под синим или лотосным столом.
Translation. You have excluded Lord Shiva from taking part in the sacrificial results. Therefore, you are all offenders at his lotus feet. Still, if you go without mental reservations and surrender unto him and fall down at his lotus feet, you will be very pleased.
Перевод. Вы лишили Господа Шиву его доли плодов и жертвоприношений, и поэтому погибли в оскорблении его лотосный стол. Но если вы отбросите все сомнения, пойдете и искренне повинитесь перед ним, припав к его лотосным стопам, он будет очень доволен.
Purport. Lord Shiva is also called Ashutosh.
Комментарий. Господа Шива иногда называют Ашутоши.
Ashu means very soon, and Tosh means to become satisfied.
Ашу означает очень быстро, Тош чувствует удовлетворение.
The demigods were advised to go to Lord Shiva and beg his pardon, because he is very easily pleased. It was certain that their purpose would be served.
Брахма посоветовал полубогам пойти к Господу Шиве и попросить у него прощения, и поскольку ему нетрудно угодить, они могут не сомневаться в том, что достигнут своей цели.
Lord Brahma knew the mind of Lord Shiva very well, and he was confident that the demigods who are offenders at his lotus feet could mitigate their offenses by going to him and surrendering without reservation.
Господь Брама хорошо знал характер Господа Шивы, и потому был уверен, что полубоги, которые оскорбили его лотосные стопы, смогут загладить свою вину, если просто пойдут к нему и искренне поменяться перед ним.
Ом гьянати мирандасья мирандираса лакая чакшу ом нитамьена тазмай шивы маха Pukam karoti vachalam pangam vandayate garim yat kripata maham vande shikvarnam dhinatama nama om vishnu padaya krishna kristaya bhutale shimati bhakti vidanta swamiti namani namaste sarasvate devi gauravani pacharani nirvishesha sunyavari pascha chade sitarani Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara Hare Srivastava Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation again, you have excluded Lord Shiva from taking part in the sacrificial results, and therefore you are all offenders at his lotus feet. Still, if you go without mental reservations and surrender unto him and fall down at his lotus feet, he will be very pleased. So this is Lord Brahma speaking to the demigods. The demigods had all been very much disturbed by the chaos which had been created when Lord Shiva sent, I think it was anger personified, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to punish everyone present in the sacrificial arena. Although he had produced this demon to create destruction, it's described previously that this demon was a manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's anger.
Хотя Господь Шива наслал и создал этого демона для того, чтобы нарушить ход жертвоприношения, наказать всех, кто участвовал в нем, описывается, что этот демон был никем иным, как воплощение гнева Верховной Личности Бога.
Personified the Lord's anger.
Он олицетворял собой гнев Верховной Личности Бога.
So under what circumstances does the Lord become angry? And we know that the Lord's anger is oftentimes manifest when his devotees are offended. And although the devotee himself may not take so much offense, the Lord does not tolerate any offense committed to a devotee who is dear to him and who is surrendered to him. Such is the case in this particular event that Lord Shiva, actually, when the initial events had taken place and the initial offense had taken place by Daksha, but Shiva, he wasn't so much involved mentally, emotionally, in any way in the event. In fact, there is a verse later in this chapter which describes this point. It states that if in some places materialists who are already bewildered by the insurmountable illusory energy of the Supreme Godhead they sometimes commit offenses, a saintly person with compassion does not take this seriously. Knowing that they commit offenses because they are overpowered by the illusory energy.
Он знает, что эти оскорбления были совершены, потому что они находятся под влиянием иллюзорной энергии Господа.
He does not show his prowess to counteract them.
И поэтому он не демонстрирует свое могущество, пытаясь нейтрализовать эти оскорбления.
This verse is spoken about Lord Shiva.
Этот стих, на самом деле, произнесен апостолом Шиве.
He didn't take it so significantly, the offense that was committed towards him, because he knew they were in the bodily concept of life and overpowered, overwhelmed by the Lord's illusory energy. So what did he do? He left. Just simply left and returned to his residence. Now, of course, I think it was the last time I was here, we talked about all the consequences that took place subsequent to this, to his leaving. And in fact, you have probably read most of them since my last class here a few weeks ago. And this connection to this verse that we just now read, Prabhupada cites Parikshit Maharaj as an example. Parikshit Maharaj was not in any way disturbed when he was cursed by Shringi. He did not become angry. He made no effort to counteract the curse. And we oftentimes quote a very well-known verse in this connection. Tiraskrita vipadabdha kshapta kshipta hatahapi tasikatpati kurvanti tadbhakta kaviyopihi. The devotees of the Lord are so forbearing that even if they are cheated, cursed, neglected, disturbed, insulted or even killed, they're never inclined to avenge themselves. Prabhupada cites Parikshit Maharaj as an example in relationship to this verse about how Lord Shiva didn't become so much involved in all these offenses. Which had been committed towards him. But subsequently he did become angry. Especially when his wife gave up her body in the presence of her father and all everyone else. Because she was not given proper respect, and she was also insulted when trying to defend her husband. So under those circumstances, his anger began to manifest. But then he called upon the personification of the Lord's anger to punish them. Because the Lord, as we said before, becomes extremely angry when his devotees are insulted, cheated, cursed, neglected, disturbed, or even killed. Even though the devotee themselves are not affected by these things, the Lord becomes very angry. Therefore, Lord Shiva felt it appropriate that he be punished.
И поэтому Господь Шива чувствует.
He was felt inappropriate that they should, these people should be punished.
Yes, of course.
Господь Шива чувствовал, что эти люди заслуживают наказания.
And therefore, he called upon the personification of the Lord's anger to go and to punish them.
Поэтому он призвал воплощение гнева Господа, чтобы тот наказал этих людей.
Prabhupada, in another commentary, gives the example that there are two types of punishment. I think it's in the next chapter. Yes. One is that which a conqueror imposes on an enemy. One type of punishment is the type of punishment a conqueror imposes on his enemy. And the other type of punishment is like the punishment the father gives to his child. When a father punishes his child, it's quite different than a conqueror punishing or imposing his punishment upon an enemy.
Когда отец наказывает своего ребенка за какой-то поступок, это наказание принципиально отличается от того наказания, которому подвергает своего побежденного врага победителя.
Prabhupada says that Lord Shiva is like a father because he never takes seriously any offense by any living entities, especially the demigods.
Шрила Прабхупада говорит в комментариях, что Господь Шива в данном случае играет роль или вступает как отец, потому что он никогда не относится серьезно к оскорблению каких-либо живых существ, особенно полубогов.
And therefore, Lord Shiva felt it was appropriate to punish all these demigods who were involved in this affair, which led to his wife's giving up her body.
Поэтому Господь Шива счел, что все те полубоги, чьи поступки привели к тому, что его жена рассталась с жизнью, заслуживают наказания.
Which is a manifestation of their pride.
И эти поступки со стороны полубогов были проявлением гордости.
Envy. As we know that Daksha, who was the initial instigator, was proud of his superior position, which he felt was a position which was superior to Lord Shiva, because he was the father of Lord Shiva's wife.
Как мы знаем, зачинщиком этой серии оскорблений был Дакша, который чувствовал большую гордость своим положением отца, жены Господа Шивы, и поэтому чувствовал свое превосходство над ним.
He's proud being the son of Lord Brahma.
Он гордился тем, что является сыном Господа Брахмы.
Who is entrusted with responsibility to be the progenitor of mankind.
И он гордился тем, что именно ему было поручено вселять землю людьми.
He also was entrusted to be the head of the big sacrifice.
И также ему было поручено возглавлять это огромное жертвоприношение.
We oftentimes see, and example is given in Shastra, that generally offenses are committed by those who are proud.
Мы часто видим и на практике, и, например, в Священном Писании, что обычно оскорбления совершаются гордыми людьми.
And generally their pride is a manifestation of because of their bodily conception of life.
И обычно их гордость вызвана телесными представлениями о жизни.
They're generally proud of having some materially, what they think, superior position.
Обычно они гордятся тем, что в их глазах является доказательством материального превосходства над другими.
And Narada Muni, in the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam, states that those who are puffed up because of their material education.
Narada Muni, четвертый песни Бхагаватам, говорит, что люди, которые кичатся своим материальным образованием,
or because of their high birth,
или потому что они были рождены в каких-то возвышенных семьях,
or because of their wealth,
или гордящиеся своим богатством,
or because of their fruitive activity,
или умением совершать действия своих плодов.
They are generally proud of possessing such things, and therefore they oftentimes will deride devotees of the Lord.
Они, как правило, гордятся всеми своими умными достояниями, поэтому высмеивают преданных Господа.
That is Narada Muni's statement in the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam.
And
the verse that states the Supreme Lord is very dear to those devotees who have no material possessions. and who are fully satisfied simply to possess devotional service. Indeed, the Lord relishes the activities of such devotees. The Lord derives pleasure. He derives great pleasure from such devotees who's taken shelter and service to Him. And in whom service is the most important possession to Him. They are ready to sacrifice everything else for service. That's their most important possession. Whether they have wealth or they don't have wealth. Whether they have a big position, they have no position. For them, what they want more than anything within their grasp is the opportunity to serve. And therefore the verse says the Supreme Lord is very dear to these persons. And He derives great pleasure from their activities, whatever they do. Because their activities are freed from pride. Freed from pride, which is results from having some material possession. They are the greatest holders of wealth. Their wealth is so great that their wealth can purchase the Lord. Imagine that kind of wealth. Some may think, oh, I could purchase planets, I could purchase an island, I could purchase a city, a country. But what is that in comparison to the wealth that can purchase the Lord? The Lord oftentimes says to His devotees, "You've purchased me by your love for me. And now because you've purchased me, you can sell me wherever you want." Well, He gives that license to His devotees. Because you've purchased me with your love. If you want to give me, give me away, sell me, whatever you want, I'm yours. So the devotee, he has the greatest possession. He's purchased with his wealth, his big position, whatever it may be, he's purchased the Lord. Because in the eyes of the Lord, the devotee is seen as very wealthy. And the devotee is seen as very big. The devotee is seen for him as very big. Important. The devotee is very important to the Lord. So, therefore, as we said, that those who are proud of possessing something else, as Narada Muni says, that those who are puffed up by material education, material wealth, aristocracy, and fruitive activities. They are generally proud of possessing such things. And oftentimes they will deride devotees of the Lord. So this is, here is, as we see, something the underlying source of the problem.
Вот в этом именно мы видим, можем заметить глубинную причину проблемы, которую мы сейчас обсуждаем.
Which oftentimes will cause someone to offend a Vaishnava.
Вот эта глубинная причина как раз часто приводит, подталкивает людей к оскорблению в адрес Вайшнава.
Being proud, they're blind. They become blinded.
Они ослеплены своей гордыней.
I can't remember the verse, but I remember in this chapter, in these chapters, in this particular pastime, it was Lord Shiva who said to Sati that a person who's proud becomes blind to the qualities, the good qualities in others.
Не помню точно, в каком стихе, но в одной из этих глав приводится стих, который произносит Господь Шива, обращаясь к Сати. Он говорит, что люди, которые гордятся своими качествами, становятся слепы в хороших качествах других.
Blind means they can't see.
Слепота означает, что они не могут их заметить.
Because they have a different standard for recognizing somebody's status.
Потому что они подходят к статусу других людей с иной мерой.
They don't see a person's potential for devotional service.
Такие люди не могут заметить других, их способности, их потенциал к преданному служению.
Or in this particular case, Daksha didn't see how elevated Lord Shiva was to him and how superior he was to him. He was blinded by his pride. And therefore, he spoke out very harshly against Lord Shiva. And spoke out very harshly against Sati when she came in defense of Lord Shiva. So we should try to understand what is the root cause of committing these offenses which creates havoc.
И поэтому мы должны понять глубинные причины, которые приводят к таким оскорблениям, которые впоследствии приводят к полному разрушению.
As Lord Shiva was able to see.
Как Господь Шива мог увидеть это?
Because he's above all these things, he was able to see it.
Потому что он выше всего этого, и поэтому может видеть все ясно.
And therefore, like a father who sees the misbehavior of a mischievous child, he felt he should be punished.
И поэтому как отец, который с горечью замечает, что его сын начинает себя очень плохо вести, он думает, нужно его наказать.
They need to learn a good lesson, so they won't do it again.
Он должен получить хороший урок, чтобы больше не повадно было.
That father, that's his kindness, that's his compassion.
И для отца думать так является проявлением его сострадания и доброты.
That the father is thinking, let me punish them, because, you know, so that they learn a good lesson and they don't do it again. They won't have to suffer in the future. Because Lord Shiva was transcendental to all of it, therefore he could see everything clearly. And therefore, as we mentioned the last time we were here, Lord Shiva's anger was a manifestation of the Lord's mercy.
И поэтому мы упомянули в прошлый раз, значит, агенцию на эту тему здесь, что гнев Господа Шивы упоминает милости Верховного Господа.
Because this is the difference that when a devotee manifests anger, he does it in service.
Потому что есть разница в проявлении гнева, когда преданный проявляет гнев, он делает это ради служения.
He's not controlled by anger.
Он сам не находится под властью гнева.
He utilizes for the service of the Lord. And therefore, he utilizes that anger to give punishment or to chastise. So one who is in a transcendental position may properly utilize this anger in the service of the Lord. But nobody should ever use the excuse that when they are very angry and controlled by anger, if they mistreat others with that anger, that that's anger in the service of the Lord.
Мы можем начать оправдываться это тем, что мы используем в служении Господу.
That's anger that will lead to one's own ruination. It's virodha yukta krodha, or that's anger which arises from one's own attachments. And therefore such anger could not be properly utilized in the service of the Lord. Unless that anger is towards an offense committed towards another
Vaishnava.
This is what Narottam Das Thakur says, how one can dovetail anger for the service of the Lord. Towards oneself, one should not, if he becomes angry towards something committed towards himself and he's overwhelmed by this anger, this is not properly proper employment of anger in the service of the Lord. Therefore, a devotee looks within himself to see what is the source of this anger. Is it due to my own attachment? Am I identifying with my position, my material body? And I'm angry because I'm not getting the kind of respect or enjoyment from that position? Is that why I'm becoming angry? And if it's the reason why I'm becoming angry, should I vent this anger on somebody else and call it transcendental? No, actually, that's an offense. That's an offense that's committed towards another Vaishnava. So one has to be very careful to not allow anger to consume one's very being to the point where he behaves in a way which is unbeneficial towards himself or anyone else. And Krishna himself explains where this anger comes from. He says it's lust only, Arjuna, which is later transformed into anger. Which is the all-devouring central activity of this world. And Arjuna asks the question, what is it that forces a person to act against his even his will sometimes? So Krishna says, oh, that anger, that's lust, which is the most sinful enemy, which later is transformed into anger. So, this is not transcendental anger. But Lord Shiva, being a completely transcendental personality, as we said, he invoked not even his own anger, but he invoked the personification of the Lord's anger. He didn't even use his own anger. He invoked the Lord's anger because he knew the Lord's going to be pretty angry. So he invoked the personification of the Lord's anger, and he had the power to invoke it. Because he's a completely transcendental personality. Unattached to position, wealth, anything, except his only thing he's attached to is his constant remembrance of the Lord. So Brahma knew this. Brahma knew that Lord Shiva will be very easily pacified.
He's not so emotionally involved in all of this. He's got better things to think about. He's the greatest Vaishnava. His mind's always absorbed in the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. He's got much better things to think about than to be absorbed in all these petty affairs. And not only that, because his mind is always absorbed in the lotus feet of the Lord. He's purchased the Lord. And he also has the Lord's compassion. In the same way as the Lord's anger, he also has the Lord's compassion. Not only does he have the Lord's compassion, but he's the only one who possesses the Lord's compassion, because the Lord doesn't even possess it himself. And in fact, there are many examples when offenders came to the Lord and said, be merciful. We've already given the example of Durvasa Muni. But there's other examples. Gopal Chappa. He offended Srivasa Thakur. Gopal Chappala was thinking, let me bring discredit to Srivasa because he's getting so much recognition for being a great Vaishnava. So he was thinking, let me do something that will destroy his reputation. So one night he took all the ingredients for the worship of goddess Durga and placed them on the steps of the home of Srivasa Thakur. And he was thinking, when everybody sees this, then his reputation will be destroyed. Srivasa came out the following morning and saw all the paraphernalia on his doorstep. He also wasn't very emotionally involved. He said, oh, look at this. Come everybody see how I'm worshipping goddess Durga. He didn't even try to defend himself. He even called all the respectable gentlemen in the village and said, come see. Of course, they all became very angry because they immediately understood who was the wicked person who planted this stuff on the steps of Srivasa Thakur's home. But Srivasa didn't even put any energy whatsoever to defending himself. But everybody else, they were very disturbed. Because they knew Srivasa's reputation. They would never do anything like this. So they immediately cleaned up that place. I think it was 3 days later that Gopal Chappala contracted leprosy. His body was burning from leprosy. He was punished severely by the Lord. And in fact, later, although this is not explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, I think later it's explained in Chaitanya Bhagavata. Later, this, when Lord Chaitanya was traveling someplace, I can't remember where it was, I think it was Apulia, this leper came to him.
Впоследствии, описывается Чайтанья Бхагавата, однажды, когда Господь путешествовал по каким-то близлежащим
местам, похожим был в Пуле, в то время к ним подошел прокаженный.
And although he's not named in Chaitanya Bhagavata, it was Gopal Champana.
Хотя в Чайтанье Бхагавате его даже по имени называли, это был Гопал Чампана.
So the leper came to Lord Chaitanya and said, "My body is burning and burning and burning with leprosy."
Этот прокаженный обратился к Господу Чайтанье с мольбой. Он сказал, "Мое тело просто сжигает это проказа."
Please be merciful to me.
Пожалуйста, будь милостив.
Please relieve me from this burning, the leprosy.
Пожалуйста, избавь меня от этих мук проказа, которые причиняют мне мучения.
And Gopal Chapala was pleading with Lord Chaitanya to help him.
Господь Гопал Чапала взывал к Господу и просил сжалиться над собой.
And Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur describes how Lord Chaitanya chastised him.
Vrindavan Das Thakur описывает, какими суровыми словами отчитал Господь Чайтанья Гопала Чапала.
What you have done to a Vaishnava?
Ты помнишь, что ты совершил по отношению к Вайшнаве?
I cannot in any way relieve this pain that you're experiencing.
Поэтому я не могу и не буду никаким образом уменьшать ту боль и мучение, которую ты испытываешь.
And he said, even if you think you're burning in leprosy now,
если ты считаешь, что сейчас ты страдаешь от этой проказы,
wait and see what Yamaraj has prepared for you.
Подожди, ты скоро узнаешь, что тебе Yamaraj приготовил.
This is nothing.
То, что ты испытываешь, это вообще.
Even if I relieve this, even if I relieve this burning from you,
даже если тебя сейчас избавлю от этих мук,
this is nothing to all the burning you're going to get in Kumbhipaka from millions of birds.
То жжение, которое ты испытываешь сейчас, ничто по сравнению с тем жжением, которое ты будешь испытывать в аду, которое называется Kumbhipaka, миллион рождений.
So he said, I can't do anything. He said, no, you should take 10 million births in Kumbhipaka. And then Lord Chaitanya walked away. Didn't get him. He told me he had to go back to Srivas. He couldn't do anything about it.
Он сказал, что должен обратиться к Шивасу, сам ничего не могу сделать.
He just walked away, he left just sitting there.
Просто ушел, оставил его огорошенным сидящим там.
So, here's another example. How the Lord can't do anything about it.
Вот еще один пример, который свидетельствует о том, что сам Господь не может ничего поделать в этой ситуации.
Therefore, he invests the power, the ability to forgive in the devotee. So the devotee, knowing that, generally feels, well, I think I have to forgive. The Lord's invested his compassion in me. He's coming to me asking forgiveness. If I don't forgive, then the Lord won't forgive. Generally, such elevated Vaishnavas who are not so much emotionally involved in the offense at all, they're very quickly, they'll forgive. Because they don't want to think, oh, you should suffer. You insulted me. No. Devotees are so forbearing that even if they're cursed or insulted, they never want to see vengeance.
Нет, в этом стихе говорится, что даже если бедных оскорбляют или если проклинают, они никогда не испытывают мстительности по отношению к оскорбителям.
That is a Vaishnava.
Это Вайшнава.
That's somebody whose heart is not overwhelmed in anger and lust and pride.
Вот это Вайшнав, чье сердце всегда свободно от гордости, от вожделения и гнева.
His heart is clear. And he can think of the benefit of everyone. If someone's been punished by the Supreme Lord, they've suffered enough. Why should I want them to suffer more? Certainly I should forgive them. And Lord Brahma knew that was Lord Shiva's qualities. And Lord Brahma told Daksha and all the demigods who approached him, go to Lord Shiva, he'll very quickly be pacified.
Поэтому Господь Брама сказал дальше всем полубогам, которые обратились к Нему, идите к Господу Шиве, и Он очень легко вас простит.
He said that if you go without mental reservations and surrender unto Him, fall down at His lotus feet, He will be very pleased. That is a Vaishnava. Generally, a Vaishnava is forgiving. And there are so many examples in scriptures of the forgiving qualities of Vaishnava. There's that remarkable story. Remarkable story. It's maybe too long to tell, but I'll just briefly tell it. This is the story of Kuresh. How remarkable this story is. How forgiving he was. As we know, Kuresh was a disciple of Ramanujacharya. And there was one king in India. His name was Kolotunga. Yeah, Kolotunga. And surprisingly so, this King Kolotunga was a worshipper of Lord Shiva. Adds a whole new dimension to this pastime. He was a worshipper of Lord Shiva, and he was convinced that Lord Shiva is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he was very envious of Ramanujacharya. Because Ramanujacharya was preaching, his preaching was becoming so widespread that everyone was becoming worshippers of Lord Vishnu. And Vaishnavas were growing up everywhere throughout his kingdom. And he couldn't tolerate that. In his eyes, Lord Shiva is supreme. Of course, Lord Shiva would never tolerate somebody who diminishes the position of Lord Vishnu. But he was thinking, Lord Shiva is the supreme and everyone should worship him, even though Lord Shiva himself worships Lord Vishnu. But he was king. He's proud of his position. He's proud of his worship. By dint of his worship, he had this position. And if everyone became Vaishnavas in his kingdom, his position would be diminished. So he was thinking, I have to do something. Now he had a... Kolotunga had a minister whose name was Chattugram. And Chattugram was formerly a student of Kuresh. And Chattugram left Kuresh and went to Kolotunga. And became his close minister. So Chattugram told Kolotunga, I know how you can stop the spreading of Vaishnavism. You bring Ramanujacharya here. Because he knew about Ramanujacharya, that he was the most powerful Vaishnava, and he was making everyone into Vaishnava. So you bring him here, and you bring him to this court, and engage in philosophical debate, and defeat him. If you can defeat him here in your palace, certainly no one will turn become Vaishnavas. Everyone will accept Lord Shiva as supreme. Because it is due to his preaching that everyone's becoming Vaishnavas. So Kulatunga arranged to send for Ramanujacharya and Mahapurna, his spiritual master. Kuresh learned about this. Kuresh was Ramanujacharya's disciple. So he approached Ramanujacharya and begged him, don't believe Kulatunga. I know this king, he's envious of you. He's bringing you to the palace on the pretext of a debate, but actually he wants to kill you. Kuresh begged him, please. I have only one purpose in my life. This body is yours. I have no other reason to exist. Please, let me give this body in your service. I'm a householder. Take my cloth. Let me take your cloth. When they come to get you, they'll think I'm you, and they'll take me. Please let me serve you in this way. Ramanujacharya agreed. He switched cloth, and Kuresh put on cloth, his cloth. Kulatunga's men came, and they saw Kuresh, and they thought he was Ramanujacharya, and they took him, and along with Mahapurna, to the palace of Kulatunga. So Mahapurna was Ramanujacharya's spiritual master, very learned. And Kuresh was also extremely learned. He had studied well under Ramanujacharya. He knew all the arguments. So they brought them into the palace, and then Chattagram said to Kulatunga, now bring all the learned pundits and then let them engage in debate with these two, and you'll see how they're defeated. But did the Kulatunga or Chattagram or all the learned pundits know how learned Kuresh was? And they all thought, of course, it was Ramanujacharya. And Kuresh just refused to accept their arguments and soundly defeated them all in the presence of everyone in the palace. Kulatunga became infuriated. He said, these two need to be punished. He was thinking they should actually be killed. He said, but he said, Ramanujacharya, he once saved my sister when she had a very serious disease. His sister had been seriously diseased and was told that she can only be cured if she gets the water from a Brahmin. So that water from the Brahmin actually happened to be the water from the feet of Ramanujacharya, and it cured her. So he said, I cannot kill Ramanujacharya, but they need to be punished.
Я не могу убить его, он отвечает, по этой причине сказал царь, но тем не менее заслуживает сурового наказания.
So he ordered the guards, take these two out of the palace, pluck out their eyes, and send them on their way.
И он сказал своим стражникам, выведите двоих из этого дворца, выколите им глаза и отправьтесь, отпустите его свои ясли.
They do not deserve to see because they are blind.
Они не заслуживают иметь глаза, потому что уже слепы.
So the guards took them out and they plucked out their eyes. And Quraysh was so forgiving. He said, I'm so happy that I'm able to use my body for the service of my spiritual master. He was feeling compassion even upon the guards who did this to him.
И он чувствовал огромное сострадание к тем страшникам, которые выкололи ему глаза.
And he was very forgiving towards them.
И он простил их.
And the guards saw this, and they were overwhelmed.
Когда страшники видели, как он отнесся к ним, они не могли поверить.
The guards called some beggar and paid them instead, told the beggar, please lead them back to their home.
Страшники позвали какого-то нищего, заплатили ему денег и сказали, отведи их в двух, как они живут.
Very shortly afterwards, Mahapurna gave up his body. And also very shortly thereafter, Kolatunga left his body. But something very interesting happened. And this is the important part of the story. All the other gore, not so relevant. Gore. Bloody details. Plucking the eyes out. So anyways, later Quraysh met up with Ramanujacharya. And Ramanujacharya told, he was very pleased with Quraysh. He asked him, he said, please go worship Lord Bharadraj. And he will come to you, being very pleased with you, and he will ask to give you a benediction. So you should ask, when he asks for a benediction, you should ask for a benediction. So Ramanujacharya was thinking, certainly Quraysh will ask to get his eyes back. So he sent Quraysh to Kanchipuram, and where Lord Maharaj was worshipped, and Quraysh went to the temple, and every day he would sit and he would chant and glorify the Supreme Lord. And one day, I think it was the Pujari came on behalf of the Lord and said, the Lord wants to give you a benediction. And he's asking, please, ask anything that you desire from the Lord and he will fulfill it. So Quraysh said, oh, I ask for the benediction. Please, the Lord, ask him to please to forgive Chaturgram. Because Chaturgram was the person who instigated the whole thing, all the atrocities against Ramanujacharya, which ultimately came to him.
Потому что именно Чатурграма был тем самым подстрекателем всех этих зверств в отношении Рамануджачари, которые в конце концов повернулись против Куреши.
So the Pujari went and the Pujari said, the Lord has fulfilled your request.
Пуджари молился, когда вернулся и сказал, Господь выполнил твое желание.
Куреш just simply sat in the temple and continued worshiping, chanting.
И Куреш оказался здесь, в храмовой комнате, и продолжал петь.
The Pujari came again. The Lord wants to give you another benediction. Yes, please, ask one more time. What would you like now? Grace said, oh, I ask for a benediction, please, the Lord will forgive Kolotunga. So the Padraya went back and asked the past request of Paresh and said, I will forgive him. If that's what his request is, he is forgiven.
И Пуджай явился, Господь сказал Пуджай, слышав просьбу Куреши, что да, раз он этого просит, я прощу Кулатунгу.
So even though Kolotunga died shortly afterwards, and who knows what sufferings and punishments he was undergoing.
Хотя Кулатунга вскоре после этого события умер, и никто не знал, какие страдания ему было суждено пройти за его оскорбление.
Куреш was still concerned about what future suffering he's going to have to experience, and therefore he wanted the Lord to forgive him so he wouldn't have to experience that.
Но Куреш был обеспокоен тем будущими страданиями, на которые был обречен Кулатунга, поэтому просил Господа простить Кулатунгу.
After this, word got back to Рамануджачарья, who was someplace nearby.
В это время неподалеку находился Рамануджачарья, и известие об этом благословение, которое просил Куреш принести для него.
And Рамануджачарья was very disturbed.
Рамануджачарья очень сильно беспокоил.
He said, "Why are you being so selfish?"
Почему ты такой эгоист?
He wrote a message to Куреш.
Написал Куреш.
You're being so selfish. You're only thinking about the gratification you're experiencing, the happiness you're experiencing from seeing these two people being delivered.
Почему ты такой эгоист? Почему ты наслаждаешься этим эгоистическим чувством радости от того, что тебе Бог простит, Господь?
But what about me?
А ты про меня почему забыл?
I'm your spiritual master.
Я твой духовный учитель.
And that body belongs to me.
Тело принадлежит мне.
And he wrote down in the message, the Lord has two very, very, very valuable possessions that belong to me.
И он написал в этой записке, что у Господа в его распоряжении оказались два очень драгоценных предмета, которые мне принадлежат.
And you should be asking him for those two valuable possessions that belong to me. What about my pleasure?
Поэтому ты забывая о моем, ты почему ты забыл о моем счастье? Ты должен попросить у Господа, чтобы он вернул тебе два драгоценных предмета, которые принадлежат мне.
He sent a message back.
To Kuresh.
So, obviously, the Lord sent to Pujari again. And the Pujari said to Kuresh, the Lord wants to give you a third benediction. What are you going to ask for this time? And Kuresh said, I can never think of my own satisfaction.
И Куреш сказал, на самом деле, о своем собственном счастье не хочу даже мыслить.
I've been very selfish.
Я уже был эгоистом.
Now I have to think of the satisfaction of my spiritual master.
Теперь я должен подумать о удовлетворении моего духовного учителя.
And this body belongs to him.
Это тело принадлежит ему.
And you have two very valuable possessions that belong to him.
А у него, Господа, есть два драгоценных предмета, которые принадлежат моему духовному учителю.
Could you please ask the Lord to give me those eyes so that I can offer them back to my spiritual master? Pujari went back to the Lord. Kuresh was crying. His father fell on the ground crying. And he stood up. His eyes back, he could see again. This is the position of a Vaishnava. This is his compassion. This is his detachment. He's not interested in anything for himself. He's only interested in the service of the Lord and the service of the spiritual master. And therefore he thinks of the welfare of others. Therefore he's very forgiving. If anyone goes to a Vaishnava and asks forgiveness from them, knowing the power that they possess, surely the Vaishnava will forgive. And therefore the Lord invests that potency in his devotees. We should be very, very careful in our dealings with devotees. Sometimes we think, oh, this is only talking about very exalted devotees. But in Harinam Chintamani, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur cautions about offenses to devotees.
Но в Харинаме Читамани Бхактисиддханта Тхакур предостерегает нас об опасности оскорбления Вайшнава.
And he says that one has to see the Swarup Lakshana. And what is the primary characteristic of a sadhu? Should not be so much interested in Tathastha Lakshana, the secondary characteristics, which may be one's external position or dress.
Которые могут выражаться, например, в каком-то внешнем положении преданного.
Саньяси, ванапаста, грихаста, брамачари. This is Tathastha Lakshana.
Ванапрасты, брамачари, то есть Tathastha Lakshana.
Swarupa Lakshana means how much one is actually depending on the holy name of the Lord.
Но Swarupa Lakshana – это качество, которое отличает вайшнавов, это их зависимость от Господа.
How much one takes shelter in the lotus feet of the Lord. How much one is faithfully chanting the holy name of the Lord. In an effort to become purified. From all sins committed, present and past. And therefore Bhaktivinoda Thakur warns that we should be very careful to not offend a sadhu.
Поэтому Бхакти Винод такой предостерегает нас и говорит о том, что мы должны быть очень-очень осторожны и не допускать оскорбления сами.
He gives different criteria. He says one should not offend the sadhu according to their caste position.
Он говорит о том, что нельзя оскорблять садху из-за того, какую жизнь он вел в прошлом.
Or even if he engages in some unpremeditated fall down.
Или даже если садху поддается каким-то случайным
For whatever traces of sin may still be remaining in him, it's due to previous sinful activities.
Нельзя его порицать за какие-то остаточные проявления грехов, которые были вызваны его греховными поступками в прошлом.
Or to whatever sinful activities may have been performed before he surrendered to Krishna.
То есть теми греховными поступками, которые были совершены до того, как предался Кришне.
He gives certain criteria, characteristics of one has to be very, very careful in criticizing a devotee. So one has to be concerned about the Swarup Lakshana. What is the most important quality? And that is their faith in the holy name of the Lord. And therefore one has to be very careful to not criticize anyone. That is the first offense of the holy name of the Lord, is to blaspheme those devotees who have faith in the glories of the holy name of the Lord.
Преданные должны тщательно остерегаться этого оскорбления, которое является первым оскорблением святого имени, этих качеств, преданных, которые имеют твердую веру в святого имени.
So these are all different lessons that are to be learned.
Вот это все разные уроки, которые можем усвоить.
These and many more lessons are to be learned from this pastime.
И эти многие другие уроки, которые должны усвоить из этой истории.
And therefore, this verse is explaining, as this verse is explaining, that Lord Brahma, knowing the qualities and characteristics of a Vaishnava, knowing Lord Shiva's positions as a Vaishnava, he was instructing all the demigods, the best thing you can do now is to go to Lord Shiva.
Он сказал всем полубогам, самое лучшее, что вы можете сейчас сделать, обратиться к Господу Шиве.
Without reservation.
При этом мы не должны колебаться.
But I think the word here, what is the word? It is... Parishuddha Chetasa. Without mental reservations.
Parishuddha Chetasa означает, что должны отбросить все сомнения.
It means no excuses. Don't look for excuses. Because that's immediately what somebody, Lord Brahma knows, that the first thing somebody's going to do, I'm going to look for an excuse. Maybe they're not so advanced. Maybe I don't have to worry about them. Or, you know, maybe I didn't really commit the offense. They offended me. course, demigods were suffering.
Daksha
definitely suffered.
He
lost his head. Completely decapitated. And many other demigods were all punished by the personification of the Lord's anger. So they had good reason to know that maybe it might be in their best interest to go back to Lord Shiva. But there may be other suffering as well. Anxiety. Especially if one's very much attached, they may be suffering from their own anger. They may be consumed by their anger. The mind is so agitated. Because the mind, as Maharaj was explaining last night in class, is always looking for an excuse to blame somebody else. So that type of mentality is, minds can never be peaceful. So much suffering. So Brahma says, okay, without mental reservations. Give up all these excuses that your mind is going to create. Just go follow his feet. And he'll be very pleased. As will be just demonstrated later in this chapter. Not only when Daksha gets his head back, happens to be the head of a goat, because his other head had been burnt up in the sacrificial fire. After it was cut off, it was thrown in the sacrificial fire and completely burnt up. So Daksha got the head of a goat put on and his body was reanimated. And the first thing he saw with those eyes that he got from the, and when he got the head of the goat, the first thing he saw was Lord Shiva. As soon as he saw Lord Shiva, tears started streaming down his goat face. Just by seeing Lord Shiva, all his anger and all his envy was completely eradicated from his heart. Such is the power of a Vaishnava. So, let us appreciate the value of Vaishnavas and be very careful to not fall in a similar predicament ourselves. That is what we should learn from this verse. It's late, we'll end here. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Yeah.